This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This episode of the Magic Word is presented by ManageGigs.com. If you would like to manage your shows and your customers in the most efficient way possible, check into ManageGigs.com. And if you'll go to themagicwordpodcast.com, you can see at the bottom of the blog there is a link for a 7-day free trial to ManageGigs.com. Well, today we are going to continue our discussion into the Magic Serial. Specifically, that we will speak with both Alex Rangel and a separate podcast with Brent Garris from The Magic Apple. In the episode with Gregory Wilson a few weeks ago, Alex Rangel was mentioned by Gregory as someone who had apparently made some allegations towards Greg, but the issue was that he didn't have anything to back it up. Specifically, whenever Greg kept asking Alex, where is your proof and who has told you these stories, he never got a straight answer from Alex. Well, today he talks about the reason why he was unable to give those answers. In the second part of the podcast, we talk with Brent Garris. Here again, that Gregory had mentioned that Brent had come out with an idea that was apparently similar to what Gregory has. Specifically, Brent has an effect called Spin Out, and there is a new effect which Gregory has recently put out called Revolution. One is a spun card, and the other one is a spinning deck. And there seems to be a little bit of a dispute as to which came first. And we'll let you, the listener, judge for yourself. So first, let's hear from Alex Rangel here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and I have with me right now my guest, Mr. Alex Rangel, who is the podcaster from 816. Hi there, Alex. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Scott? It's been a long time. Yep.
Yes, indeed. And it was your podcast that Gregory had originally, I guess, kind of got that started, because he was saying that the issue was just that you had said something a couple of years ago that was in reference to something that Apollo had told you, and so that kind of got the ball rolling, and Greg said, I need to set this record straight. Then he called you, and I'll let you kind of take it from there a little bit.
Okay. You know, there's so many things that have transpired over the past few days since this has, I guess, kind of gone down, and what's interesting to me is after listening to Apollo's podcast, he touched on something there where he says Greg has a habit of contacting his victims.
Shepherding, yeah.
There we go. And, I was so thrown off by the phone call that up until listening to the podcast, I didn't even click to me till probably the second time I listened to it. I said, wait, this happened to me. I have a business now in Kima, and I'm sitting at my shop. I get a phone call, and it's Greg, and he's upset. And I take the phone call outside, and what I tell Greg is this. I say, Greg, I haven't talked about you in 2 years, because I did. I did talk about Greg. I did not behind his back by any means, but if somebody asked me my opinion or maybe dealings with him, I gave them my opinion. I think that if anybody knows me, there's two things. One, you don't have to guess if we're friends. Mm-hmm. Two, you know how I feel about you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to teeter-totter and, go on about that. But Greg contacted me, and he said, I want to go on your podcast with David Rangel, and I want to clear this up.
Well, that's because I guess it started with yours to begin with, because it was
right. Yeah, it did. There was a podcast on the 816 that David and myself had done where I had brought up some things about Greg, and I had spoke my mind about Greg on the podcast. And so he wanted to reach out there to clear his good name. So when he contacted me, I told him really that the truth. I said, I've been kind of disinvolved in magic for this past year. I've been having a pretty good one. I had a little girl. She's exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, with the new business, I explained to Greg, I said, I've done one project for a Canadian-based magician in the past 12 months. I haven't done anything in magic.
I mean, you used to do a lot of things. I mean, you have worked with David Blaine and all these different guys who've been on television, and those who haven't. You've been a consultant to many and performing all over. I mean, you're one of the true underground guys, in my opinion, I think, who really is the real deal, you know.
Well,
and people, I think, need to know more about you.
Well, thank you, Scott. Can I? I actually want to backtrack a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
And I, at first, thank you for bringing that up. I don't tell people about what I do. My friends that I went to high school with, they think that I'm a half nomad, half homeless person that lives in Pasadena.
Yeah, when you say Pasadena, people think of Pasadena, California, but you're here in Pasadena, Texas, outside of Houston. Yeah.
I don't know if I don't hear the draw, but people tell me it's there. So yeah, Pasadena, Texas.
I don't hear it either, but people say it about me too.
Right.
I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know if I've ever talked about it. Let's do it on Scott's podcast.
We ought to do that.
I work with a lot of people.
Well, I know Daniel Garcia is, of course, one of your best friends, and you've done a lot of stuff with him. I mean, you guys grew up together. And a lot of people who know Daniel may not know you as well, and they're going to say, really? And so I mean, that is a good association. He's a great guy and a very creative gentleman and has grown into a fine young man, and as have you. And so, anyhow, I think that this is fodder for a future podcast, certainly, in and of itself.
Yeah, Danny Garcia, man, that guy, what can you say, talented, amazing friend.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't know is, I say it all the time, Danny Garcia saved my life. So whenever I met Danny, I thought that I was a pretty decent magician. And I'm talking, I didn't walk into my first real magic shop until I was probably 20 years old. Now, I had a few books and some things, but I didn't walk into my first magic shop till I was 20. Mm-hmm. A little bit later in life, I meet Danny, and at this point in time, I didn't want for anything magic-wise. And I'll explain that. At the time, I had 7 people living with me, and I was the only one that had a job. I had 2 jobs. I worked at a restaurant, and I waited tables, and I bartended there. And then out of the restaurant, I sold cocaine. Mm-hmm. And this went on for a long time. And when you live that lifestyle, certain things come with that lifestyle. So you see enough of your friends get put in a box. You see enough of your friends get put in a cage. You start to think, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I used to get paid to collect debts from people who didn't want to pay those debts,
Okay.
And there was this twist that happened where I just saw, like, this isn't what I want to do, but this is really kind of what I know to do. But I had always had an interest in magic as an art form.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to be an artist. I thought I wanted to do something. And what I learned is that sometimes it's not art. Sometimes it's doing a card trick. And in that journey, when I met Danny, the only things that we talked about were magic. And then it was magic, 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 and jamming and hanging out. And then I left all the old stuff behind. This is one of the many reasons why I'm so passionate about what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
I found solitude in the art form of magic. I don't consider many people in the U.S. or many magicians in the U.S. or Europe or otherwise true artists, but I got saved by that. That was my new drug that kept me away from doing all that.
Yeah,
I fell in love with Greg Wilson. This guy was charismatic, charming. He was everything. You can never take that away from him. Put in one of those DVDs now, it's there. Watch him live, it's there.
Yeah.
So this came for the podcast, for everything that happened in the future, kind of came from a place of hurt for me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, let me point the finger at you and you know, show everybody who you are. It was, first, we tried to have discussions and talk about it. I'm sorry, I kind of drifted off there. But when I first talked with Greg, and...
you kind of had him on a pedestal to begin with. I mean, he was someone that was kind of an idol that you would look up to, is what you were saying.
I'd agree 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when we first talked about anything to do with thievery or, you know, borrowing or whatever you want to call it, because it happens, guys. And now I'm talking to the magic audience out there. Mm-hmm. If you hang out with enough magicians and you're in enough conference rooms and you're talking about enough projects, sometimes you're just going to go home with someone else's idea. It's just natural.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're a thief. It doesn't mean you stole that.
It's osmotic. I mean, just through osmosis that you're going to absorb these kinds of ideas. And you may not consciously think of them at the time as being someone else's idea, and you sleep on that. And then maybe 6 months later, you think, I've got a revelation of an idea, which your subconscious has been at night kind of boiling over and over. And then eventually you think, this is my idea, when really it came from somebody else subconsciously.
Yeah, I mean, half of Danny's work is mine, but that's a different you know, it just does.
That's why I tell Banachek, you know, that half of his ideas are mine, too.
Right. Yeah, you were there through all that process.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so there is always two sides of the story. You know, one of the things I admire that Apollo said on The Magic Word was, he said, I want to be wrong. You know, wouldn't that be great, like, mm-hmm. that we're just all wrong? Mm-hmm. That'd be nice, because then this person that we still view as a mentor and that we looked up to is still that person.
Right.
You know, when Greg and I first discussed, and I wanted to hear his side of the story, one of the first things that Greg told me was, and I just remember it being such an odd response that I remembered it. And I don't mean I kind of, verbatim. I asked Greg about stealing a certain effect, and he said, Alex, let me stop you there. First, he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never been accused of this. What is going on? Let's discuss this. He was very adamant about wanting to work it out and talk about it. And he said, Alex, let me stop you. It is impossible for me to steal, for my religion will not allow me to do so. And I thought, man, like, all right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're that passionate about your faith that you're saying, my faith won't even allow me to even contemplate thievery, mm-hmm. I can't just take you as a liar. I have to take some of that into heart and believe that those are true words.
Right, yeah, that's against the Ten Commandments, I shall not steal, so that's why, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, we don't really say much from there, and if we're going on time frame, I'm going to guess that this is around 2003, 2004. I had already been working at the Tower Magic Bar at this point in time. This was my first kind of interaction with real, quote-unquote, real magicians or known magicians, you know. We were like a brothel. So many known name men went through that bar that, you know, nobody's ever seen or heard about. That was some of the greatest shows on the planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've been there.
So. Oh, yeah. I've worked there also. I know what you mean. Yeah, but back then when you were doing that was Bob Sheets and everybody else who was coming through there with Doc. Mm-hmm. Eason and everybody.
Yeah, great times. So, so then here's where we talk about hearsay. You go to a magic convention and there's always gossip.
Of course.
And people say, you know, this person stole this and this person stole that. Well, then, unfortunately, Greg's name gets brought up in some of these discussions. And then I say, you know what, man? I had a long talk with Greg. You know, we discussed some things, you know. And then you hear more and you hear more and you begin to doubt. Mm-hmm. And that's where, well, for myself. So as I start to doubt, I start to do research. And I start reaching out to some of these people. And here's where, this is what Greg says to me. He He says, Alex, if you have proof that I've stolen something, show it to me. If someone has told you that I've stolen something, tell me. Tell me who that person is. I've never told Greg who that person is because there's several of them. Mm-hmm. And these are people, you know, you and I briefly discussed this. These are workers in this business. Mm-hmm. These are creators in this business. These are manufacturers in this business. These are friends of mine, and I value loyalty. I challenge anybody to sit down with me and have a discussion about our two different definitions of loyalty. Every one of these people, I've asked them to pour their heart out and tell me their experience with Greg on the promise, on my word, that I would not bring their name up in public. This is something I told Greg on the phone, and I said that I was so past what's going on that I was willing to ruin a few of those friendships. I thought about it, and it wasn't the way to go, but Apollo Robbins was the first one of those friends to speak out. Mm-hmm. And until then, I had never mentioned his name ever in the same context of speaking about Greg Wilson until he came on your podcast.
And he started talking about that, saying that Apollo is at the center of all of this. It all roads led back to him.
He does have, I'm sorry when I say he, Greg does have in his mind, for whatever reason, that Apollo is just out to end his career.
Yeah, like he wakes up in the morning and what can I do to screw Greg today? Kind of a thing, yeah.
You know, funny that you said that, because I actually told Greg, I said, Greg, do you think I wake up in the morning and think, what am I going to say about you today?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give as much backstory and information that I can.
Sure.
I'll tell you some things that I can say first person, and that is being myself and Greg. And these are just over the years. Apollo had discussed the coin effect and a possible thievery between Greg Wilson and Cosmo Solano. Mm-hmm. This is exact change. This is one of the effects that I brought up to Greg. And Greg, as always, there's never not an answer. There's always an answer. And it's a pretty darn convincing answer. Greg Wilson looked at me in my face and he said, Alex, I have notebooks. I have plans. I've been doing this for over 5 years, and I put $20,000 in R&D and for the development of the gimmick. When you see it, it's going to blow you away.
Okay.
20 grand.
Fine. So go ahead.
I'm walking away from the table going, first, man, he's got 20 grand to spend on a magic trick.
Yeah.
And two, man, awesome. Like, good for him.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you do it. You know, come up with something awesome. And then, of course, we know where it's going from here. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I have recorded a podcast then with Cosmo on his side of this whole story, certainly. And what's interesting is that he actually not only is speaking from firsthand or first person recollection, but he has notes that he had written during the discussion. So he can go to that and say, here is exactly what's said. He said, I underlined some things even, because I wrote down some of the words precisely as he said them.
Well, I wish I was that clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, this is one incident. And when you find out what the gimmick is, when I find out, sorry, you know, I'm kind of like, man, I got to give him credit because, you know, I think that I'm kind of a savvy guy. You know, I don't get taken at carnivals and, you're not going to sell me timeshare. I'll go for the free lunch, but I'm not going to leave with a timeshare unit. And this is like fool me 17 times, shame on me, because he's so convincing. He's genuine. And again, when I say he, I'm talking about Greg. Mm-hmm. This is one incident that he forgets that we talk. He tried to mention to me the other day, he dropped some names, and I started laughing, and I said, Greg, every name magician that you're talking about, don't forget that I know those people too.
Yeah, I can verify that story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when did he see, when he's saying to you, at least on the podcast, that he had said that he was asking you, well, give me some examples. And you said, well, there's this and this, you know what I'm talking about. Said, no, I don't. Please tell me.
It is true, right. Yeah. So those are the ones that, like I said, that unfortunately I just can't discuss. And I don't feel like it does justice bringing them up just so I don't talk about them.
Well, second of all, that they, in those cases, are third-party stories that they have told you in confidence.
They have told me in confidence. And again, that, you know, it could be hearsay. It could, you know, just be whatever. I have a feeling that some of those people are going to step forward and contact you to share their side. Mm-hmm. What I can say with Greg is, like I said, when we talked about Exact Change, and he went into his notebooks of research and sketches and multiple developments of his $20,000 gimmick. Talking to him at, I believe it was a SAM National Convention, he showed us this brilliant effect with a, it's not a pool ball rack, but just the
case. I
didn't
think they do the magic square with that. Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty clever, I thought. He showed that to me. I thought that was clever. Awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's telling me how he developed it and how it went on and this and that. And then, you know, I'm finding out that not his at all. Why? You know, it's not something that he was, I believe, selling at the moment. Why do you feel the need just to make up that lie right then and there? I've asked, I'm just going to call him out. You mentioned his name. I've asked Danny Garcia to talk about his interactions with Greg. Mm-hmm. Let me think of how I want to phrase this. There's levels of anger that I'm acceptable of having Danny mad at me. So this falls into the level of anger that he's not going to talk to me for like a week and a half, but he'll get over it. So
you do know him well.
Yeah. Okay. Greg stood up, and I believe it was at the Carolina convention whenever Danny was working this convention. Danny was working on some new material, practicing for a Spanish trip, and decided to share some of that material at the convention. After Danny finished his routine, I guess he liked it, because while he's supposed to perform, while he's hired to be at the convention, instead of performing, he polled the audience for 15 minutes, and not like an exaggeration, but for 15 minutes mm-hmm. of how they felt Danny, well, where did he start, and where was the card at that? Okay, perfect. And then where did it go from there? And how did that happen again? Why are you polling the audience for another magician's effect? I don't understand. We can talk to Danny about Phenomenon. Is that the name of the effect? I could be getting it wrong. The pin, very, very nice walk around impromptu esque routine. And
it's
now
not pointless, is it?
There we go. Pointless. There we go. Let's ask Greg Wilson how many of those moves are his and how many of those moves are not credited to Danny Garcia. When I was present as Danny was going over those moves with Greg. Mm-hmm. The reason that I can talk about this, the reason that I'm just saying that, you know, Danny's going to be mad at me because he's not going to tell you. Maybe he will. Maybe now. But he doesn't want to bring it up. He doesn't want to talk about it because, like everybody else, they're just saying, no, just wipe it under the rug. Like, I don't want to bring it up. It's almost embarrassing. You know, Apollo said it like, you know, one of Greg's victims. And that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. No man ever wants to be shown being taken advantage of. And unfortunately, Greg's taken advantage of a lot of men in this magic community mm-hmm. in a lot of situations. And I think he's taken advantage of the fact that he is so popular. And, you know, he's a legend in the art of magic. You know, again, it's already been said that allegedly Greg has the tendency to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. When I talked to Greg face-to-face at the last MagicCon hosted by Dana Dave in San Diego, I believe, mm-hmm. we sat at the bar. And one of the first things that Greg told me, he says, you know, this was 10 years ago. We'd be having that discussion outside. And I kind of smiled, and I said, yeah, of course we would. because we'd both be 10 years younger.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Greg has never tried to intimidate me. Greg has, that I know of, maybe he was, but Greg has not picked up the phone to call me 10 times a day or sent me emails. In fact, on the contrary, I have contacted Greg 6 times since the since your podcast, and left voicemails and asked him to contact me and asked him if he'd like to discuss. You know, the only which could be maybe perceived aggressive is maybe on Facebook he said that I'll make you my play toy, which, you know, I'm not into dudes, but whatever.
I understand that there has been quite a discussion back and forth on Facebook.
Yeah. And listen, guys, I'm no saint in the matter. Like I said, I'll say what I feel, how I feel. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The feed is up there, by the way, because I believe that anything that I ever post on social media, I've never deleted anything, whether it's a tweet, a Facebook post. If I said it, it's going to stay there. The same way that these words are going to stay on this podcast. Mm-hmm. If I put it out there, it's just out there.
Right.
So if anybody'd like to read that, if you want to dig through my page, it's there. Mm-hmm. However, Greg's never done that to me. I personally know certain people that he's done that to. And what I'm talking about is the intimidation.
He's intimidated, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a problem with bullies. I've been called a bully, and I don't respond to it. I've been called a Twitter bully many times because maybe I'm so brash or loud in how I speak or what I'm saying. I was this kind of, you know, always a chubby little fat kid, but I was a chubby little fat kid. I was like the same chubby little fat kid. It just got older over years. Like, my body has stayed. If you see pictures of me when I was like a baby, it's the same Alex. And I got bullied, right? Mm-hmm. I got picked on. So instead of going, man, I hated that, I'm going to stand up for people, I became the bully. I was someone in high school that maybe I was the life of the party or the class clown that made everybody laugh, but I wasn't likable. I had a select few of friends that I still talk to this day, but you know, there was hundreds of people, you know, it's because I was being mean to someone else, you know? So they just wanted to be nice, 'cause I'm this mean person. I have probably approached 30 to 40 people since high school with either handwritten notes of apologies or, hey, do you want to talk? So when I found something to live for and I found passion for this art form and I saw somebody being a bully, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but I did lash out because I'm just not going to stand for it. I'll say this, and this is 100% fact. Chris Angel got into it with a magician. And because he's Chris and, you know, he's famous and he has money and whatever, you know, he thought he was going to intimidate this guy. And I said a whole bunch of things to Chris that we're not going to say on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But again, it doesn't matter who the person is or what it is. It's, you know, this guy was at that time, he was just a bully by the true definition. Being a bully. Greg Wilson has bullied his way through his entire career and just kind of put people into submission. And unfortunately, I said it on Facebook and I'll say it again. You know, this is our Bill Cosby of the magic community. You have these victims that have already started to come out of the woodworks, that have been quiet for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's in, I mean.
And they're finally incredible. Coming forward and saying that as a result, well, I believe that Gregory has been the one who has released the hounds, said, okay, that come let me know. I'm saying that these have been accusations that have been made against me, and where's the proof? Go ahead. And so now people, I think, who have been had this pent-up rage, or maybe that have been feel they have been unfairly treated, are starting to come forward. As you said, I have had several people. Now, I want to refocus a little bit just to say that, of course, this is not about. I don't want this to be on Greg specifically to say that he is a bad person, or that you're a bad person, or I'm a bad person, or whatever.
Sure.
But more so that, as far as the general conversation within our magic community goes, that we are going to be focusing on looking at the attributes that a person has, which may tell you that perhaps you may not want to share an idea with this person who has these kinds of tendencies, because they may be likely to use your idea and put it out as their own, or, quote, forget that they saw it or heard it from you, and then, again, later not be giving you any credit for the R&D that you had done.
Sure.
to make this product or whatever it is, and basically having it as his own. And I'm saying not necessarily as Greg's own, but whoever that person might be. So by saying that someone who would be like this, who has proven to have these kinds of charismatic tendencies or bullying tendencies or whatever, that they might be someone else within the community now or in the future who you may recognize to say, you know, I might be a little bit cautious. I might think a second time before I open that link, you know, because that may take me to a phishing scam or something. The same thing that you might think, okay, well, I may not want to share this idea that I've got for this little new gimmick, because this is something I think I want to have as a digital download. But if I share it with this guy, he's going to beat me to the market before I do, because I just don't feel comfortable about doing that. So that's what I'm saying.
No, you're absolutely right. If I'm talking about myself, if I had called you, let's say, you know, three times in the past year, and it was, hey, do you got that new Banachek book, or hey, do you got a couple of psychokinetic pins, and I come over and I pick them up and I go, oh man, Scott, I left my wallet. I'll get you next time.
Yeah.
How many times do you let that happen before you either say something, or you start watching it happen to your friends?
Good point.
And you go, hey,
good analogy.
Yeah. Hey guys, ask him who's got his wallet first, you know? Mm-hmm. David, who I love, David Rangel. I don't have to talk about how much I love him, but you know, when I smoke cigarettes, David Rangel never bought one cigarette in his life. So, mm-hmm. you know, I tell people all the time, they'd say, David, what kind of cigarettes do you smoke? And I'd say, whatever you're smoking, you know. I tell people all the time. I tell, other people's.
Yeah.
You know, David come over. I'm just putting all my friends on blast tonight. David would come over, and I'd say, hey, hide your cigarettes. You know, you look out.
Well, that's to the point, exactly what I'm saying.
It's just natural to do that. Somebody wrote me, actually, I've got several messages, but one of the magicians wrote me, what's your effing problem in the big effing deal? You know, it's just like, you would never let your neighbor babysit your puppy if you saw them beating their dogs all the time.
Good point.
So it's acceptable to stand up for someone in the situation of a girl being bullied by a boy, or vice versa, for an act of racism in public, or if we were in any other club or organization. You know, if we're in the National Stamp Collecting Club, and you keep stealing my stamps, Scott, you're out of the club.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I think people get caught up in idolizing our idols, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, it happens with celebrities. You know, sometimes you don't want to meet your favorite celebrity.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you'll be so disappointed whenever you get to see them. Sometimes you don't want to meet your idols and see the warts and all.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Megan Fox is pretty attractive, but she's got a pretty big thumb.
Yeah. Well, listen, Alex, I appreciate you coming on here. And again, I just wanted you to kind of address what it was that Alex had accused you of.
Greg.
Saying, hey, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He hasn't got any proof or anything. And so, again, what you're saying is, I understand, to kind of to recap, would be to say that although that the first person stories may not be mine, I trust the people who have told me these stories as being genuine. These third party stories that you've heard, because they're from friends who you would trust and who have never proven to be disloyal or dishonest.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I know you said it, Scott, but I talked to Ben Jackson recently, Houston-based mm-hmm. magician, and he said, what's your goal here, Alex? Like, what do you want? And first, I had left this alone. You know, I had told Gregory not to do this. I told him not to bring up his laundry on air. Mm-hmm. I said that it was a terrible idea for him to do this. In fact, I'm quoted, I think, on Facebook for saying, this could be the end of your career.
He's got like, more to lose than to gain on this,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like, stop. And I said, there's a small, not a small, but there is a hope that, not to say that something is wrong with him, but for him to realize that maybe something is wrong and to get whatever necessary help he needs. I don't want to defame or point fingers or sling any hate towards Greg, because that's not what it's about anymore.
Right.
But it definitely is to say, hey, we know what's happening. Now other people do. You need to stop and you need to get a little help, buddy. Mm-hmm. So, if this is a brotherhood and a community, then start acting like brothers, guys. Stop that.
You know, if I were to ask you what your magic word is, that would be, I think you kind of summed it up there. It's like, just show some love, brother.
Show some love, brother.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Well, Alex, thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the Magic Word and kind of setting straight to your side of that as well. And we're going to continue to follow the evidence, see where this all leads. And I want to hear both sides. If people have some things that they want to contact me and say, look, I want to stand up for Greg because I've seen this and I know that these ideas are his or whatever, and some of these facts are convoluted in his favor, I would like to hear that too. But right now it seems like a lot of things have kind of lined up on the other side of the aisle.
Well, thank you for having me, Scott, and I also look forward to what happens in the future, so thanks again.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Alex, and for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Alex Rangel, and this is Scotty out. Last week, we introduced a new advertiser, ManageGigs.com, and this week, again, we have with us founder and creator, Chris Stoltz. Hi there, Chris.
Hi, Scott.
I understand just some people who have asked about this are still not clear exactly what is ManageGigs.
So ManageGigs is an online system. It's for managing all of your bookings, all of your customers, all of your performance material, and your set lists.
And the advantage being that not only that can you manage it through your computer, but you can be anywhere in the world to do this.
Yeah, you can log in on your computer, log in on your phone, anywhere you need to access that information, it's there for you.
And how did it come into being and getting developed?
Well, it was interesting. I initially developed it with what I thought I wanted as a performer in mind, and I quickly realized that that was a narrow view. So I changed the approach fairly quickly and interviewed a lot of magicians, a lot of non-magicians and other performers to find out what they wanted. And then once I had a beta version, I actually brought in a whole bunch of beta testers to just go crazy and give me all kinds of feedback. And then now that it's launched, I do the same thing with current members. So I poll them regularly. People request features and tell me what they want, and they usually end up pretty high on the list. And so it becomes something that everybody wants to love to use, as opposed to something I'm just throwing out there at everybody.
And is it pretty easy to use as far as user-friendly?
Very, actually. The best piece of feedback I've gotten from everybody is that it's a lot easier to use than a lot of the other CRM systems and open source tools and different things that are out there.
Sounds great. And again, that's ManageGigs.com.
That's right.
Very good. And they can sign up for a free 7-day trial by just hitting the logo that's at the bottom of the screen over here. I should say the bottom of the screen, the bottom of our website at themagicwordpodcast.com. So if you're listening to this podcast through iTunes or anything else, then you need to go to the website here at themagicwordpodcast.com to get that free 7-day trial. And now we return to the podcast and our discussion with Brent Garris from the Magic Apple in Studio City, California, where Brent responds and gives his side of the story as it relates to the accusation made by Gregory Wilson in a previous podcast. Hello, this is Scott Wells with MagicWordPodcast.com, and I have as my guest right now Mr. Brent Garris from the Magic Apple in Los Angeles, California. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm good, thanks. Rainy day here in L.A., but I am good, thank you.
A rainy day. Well, you had a lot of rain, actually, out in L.A. for a while. Well, listen, I wanted to talk with you today about the response on your side, because your name was mentioned in relation to the spinning deck routine that Gregory had put out, and he had talked with you, and so you heard all of the controversy, I guess, and I kind of wanted to hear what you had to say on your side, because what I'm trying to gather are first-person reports on the other person's side of the story, because Gregory said no one has really been, everyone's been accusing me, but no one has really been giving any proof or anything, so I just wanted to kind of hear your side.
Yeah, and I'd like to shed some light on that, and I think as this controversy, or whatever you call it, continues on, I think there'll be a lot of people that are now willing to come out and say certain things about certain products, and the trick that I have that was released in, it's called Spin Out. The DVD was released in 2009, and the cards were printed by the U.S. Planka Company in 2008. And people had seen the trick in 2008 because I got some testimonials and, you know, hey, that's a great product from some people that like the trick.
Yeah.
And it's done well. All of the big suppliers carry it. It's a kind of a funny trick. A card's chosen. It's lost in the deck of cards. The deck of cards is then spun. Then you spread the ribbon, spread the cards, and now the only one that's the ink is all warped and all spun is their chosen card, both front and back. It's been out, it's been done. I also understand other people have done it before me, but this is the first time that it's done in a routine, as far as I know anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I was working at the Magic Castle in 2004.
Let me back up just a second. So the routine, as you had marketed then, was something that you had put together that had not been out before, and so you had these cards specially printed that had the kind of blurred front and back images
and
everything?
Yeah, basically, if you took a bicycle playing card and rotated the image 720 degrees on both front and back. And one of my main reasons for this is because the back has been changed. And this is the last time, this card run that I did, because I print with a U.S. playing card, this is the last time that the back could be altered. So this is a very unique, no longer will be ever printed again playing card. And I have thousands of them because of the minimums. And I have them in two colors. Mm-hmm. Which will make sense later on in the story.
Okay. So you were at the Magic Castle, you said.
So Magic Castle 2014, working with whom I didn't know at the time, Steve Gore, great British guy. Turns out he's friends with Greg Wilson, and at that point, Greg and I were friendly. And really, up until about 2 weeks ago, I thought Greg and I were friendly. In between our shows, Greg comes into the back area, like our dressing room area, and it's about the size of a bathroom. It's already cramped with two magicians with all of our magical nonsense.
Right.
A third person adding, with not knocking, just kind of barges in, which maybe has been known to do that, and grabs a deck of cards out of my case. I'm ready to perform here. You know, you have to have a certain mindset. Grabs a deck of cards out of my case and spins it on his finger like a basketball, and puts it back in the case, and I think nothing of it. I don't even comment on it. I don't care. I'm not worried about that. I want to go do a magic show. And Greg says, this is a miracle. I just took a deck out of your case and spun it on my finger. And I said, well, that's your deck. None of my decks do that, kind of jokingly, because it was no big deal. And then I said to him, you should include this playing card, because I do the spin-out trick. I did it actually at the castle, because some friends dared me that I wouldn't, because it is, you know, kind of a goofy trick, but it's a great seller. I said, you should do this trick, and I showed him the playing card front and back. We talked about the playing card front and back. I told him about this limited run, because they're no longer altering the backs. This would be great to add to your spinning card routine, the spinning deck thing. He's like, yeah, I'm already working on that. We've done it. Product coming out soon. And I said, well, it's already a product. I'd have it right here. Here's the spinning card, the spun card. I have them. Maybe we can work it out. You can buy these from me because I had to print so many playing cards, mm-hmm. and I don't have that many DVs. I have all these extra cards included, and we can work together. This would be great. And that was kind of the end of it. And maybe I packed up and was ready to perform, or he left. It was kind of like and then he mentioned Weber's name. Me and Weber were working on this for years, and it's going to come out one day. It's going to be great. And that was kind of the end of it. I didn't make it. I thought nothing of it. If Weber's involved, Weber knows what he's talking about. Great. That's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And now, last year, in 2015, this Revolution product comes out, which is a deck that's spinning on your finger, which is the product that he did in the dressing room. And I have no claim of that product. I don't. The spinning card deck, that's his, or he's claiming that that's his. My concern is the spun card that comes with the Revolution trick is the card that I showed him at the Magic Castle. not even that great because my back is spun and his back isn't spun.
Mm-hmm. So is the face of his spun?
The face of his is spun. Funny enough, in spin out, it's an 8, and his in revolution is an 8, which I actually didn't even know until about a week ago.
Wow.
So he didn't even just change the card, at least change the card. So his face is spun. So then I called him on. I called Mark Murphy, just like Greg said in the conversation, and said, hey, you should look at this product. Spin out you've had since 2009. It's essentially the same trick, essentially the same ending of a trick. A card is chosen, put the deck is spun, now there's a spun card. And so Mark Murphy, I guess, contacted Greg, like he said in his podcast, and mm-hmm. I put on Twitter, Greg was correct, Gregory Wilson is a thief, bold letters. And I copied a few people on this email that I sent to Mark Murphy, and then Greg soon after called me and said, oh my, was so apologetic, was such a nice guy on the phone. He said everything that I wanted him to say. He apologized. He said, how do we make this right? What can we do? I want to, I 100, these are the words because I have my little piece of paper right here. I want 100% make amends and make you happy. What do we do? So after a conversation, I can't ask him to pull the product. That's insane. The only thing is credit me or mention spin out on the back of the Revolution download. Is say, I didn't know this, but here it is. Here's the spin out. And I was fine with that. And I thought he was fine with that. And that was it. That's the end of the story. Everybody's happy. And then I hear this podcast and he's saying nasty things and put me on a, I was trying to get on a pedestal. And then he mentions his Arcane deck that came out in 2010. Well, spin out came in 2009. So our original conversation, Greg and I didn't know the date of either one of these things because I was, you know, on fire and kind of ramped up. Since I've had time to calm down, I looked at spin out. The cards were printed in 2008. Spin out came out in 2009. His Arcane deck came out in 2010. So I, no matter how you look at it, came out with this thing first.
Now, was the Arcane deck something that was just a deck of cards that had different printings?
Yeah, the Illusionist put out, so it's 52 Gaff cards.
Gaff cards, basically, yeah. One of them was the blurred or spun card, right?
Yeah, you got the spun card, and that's funny enough, on the DVD, he doesn't even teach you how to do the trick. He just basically has a card chosen and then flicks it, it spins, then the ink is spun. That's mm-hmm. not even described, that's just performed on the DVD.
Right.
But that's a whole other issue. So
so let me back up just, I guess, a little bit. That first of all, it seems that one of the popular things that when magicians are standing around, you know, to spin a card, it's just kind of when you're fiddling with cards. I mean, we all do that, just kind of, you know, just like you would used to roll a coin. It seems like now you're spinning a card or something. So that was something that he came into the close-up gallery, or the dressing room in the close-up room right there, and without being invited and not being a performer, just kind of showed up, reached into your box of things and pulled it out and started spinning it?
Yeah, I mean, he had a deck, you know, he made it look like he just pulled out one of my decks.
Oh, he just palmed that in and out, so it looked like,
Gotcha. And that's fine, that's not, I don't have the issue with the little gimmick that makes the deck spin. My issue is the printed playing card at the end of the routine. My friend Duppy came up with the idea for spin out, Duppy, and he created the playing card front and back. It's his idea, this guy Duppy, that I've been friends with for a million years, and we put this thing out. So, it's not the act of spinning cards, it's not the act of releasing this Revolution product with a gimmick, it's the specially printed card that I showed Greg before Revolution came out, and then Revolution came out.
Yeah, I got you.
And I offered Greg to buy the spin-out cards. Like I said, I have thousands of these cards.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with them? Why not make Revolution a better trick and us avoid this podcast conversation, and we don't have a fight. He could have bought these cards off me for pennies.
Yeah, just have a joint marketing effort. Yeah, exactly.
Then he could have included a bicycle altered back playing card in spin out, or in Revolution. Sorry.
But his contention was that apparently that he was telling you, or at least what he had said on the podcast, was that you did not have this idea before him, and it was different type of handling.
Yeah, and it's neither his or my idea that a spun playing card exists. There are definitely other cards with spun ink. The routine of spinning a deck of cards and a card is now Spun, is original to Spin Out.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
What I'm saying is, I showed him a card that didn't exist with front and back spun, and now a year later, his now exists.
And then also you had marketed even, not only had you shown him that, you had marketed before that he came out with something that was a little bit different. And again, that yours was a spinning card and his is a spinning deck.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are kind of two separate effects. And I guess with that he spins the deck and then he pulls all the cards out and then shows that card being spun?
Yeah, the only one that the spectator chose is the spun card, yeah, mm-hmm. is the spin-out card. But again, my issue is I showed him my front and back spin-out card in 2014, and then in 2015 he has a trick using basically the card that I just showed him. After a routine, it only makes sense because he spun the deck. I said, oh, you should put this card in it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put the spin-out card in the... Oh, we're already doing that. Well, I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
At the end of all these podcasts, you know, your listeners can make up their own minds. If a dozen people say they showed Greg something and now it's out before this person put it out, I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Controversial.
Yeah, I understand. All right. Well, that's clear, and that kind of helps kind of put a coda on that, I guess, so this way I kind of understand from your perspective as far as the timeline. That's helpful also because a lot of the things that have been questioned, it has to do with the chronology of invention. When did this idea come out? And when was it, perhaps more importantly, when was it marketed? Because a lot of times people may have an idea and they just may not have put that out in time. For an example, that in talking with Cosmo Solano about his international pocket change, that when he put that out, that he said that Greg told him, I've had this idea for a number of years, and I'm putting mine out since you're putting yours out. In other words, that since you're already doing it, I want to capitalize on this also. I probably should put mine out right now, too.
Right, and to Greg's credit, he is a bigger name in Magic than both Cosmo and I are, and exactly. And because... I don't believe that the spinning card, the spun ink on a playing card, was in Greg's brain when he created this gimmick for the Revolution. I believe it is once I showed him that. I think he said, that's a good idea. I'm going to put that in Revolution and tell everybody else that I already had it.
But it was something that was in his deck of cards that he
had. In his arcane deck, yeah.
In 2009, but didn't have a routine with the card, basically.
Right. Well, yeah, a card gets spun out of the deck. But again, that's also after spin out.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
And on the podcast, like at the end of our conversation, Greg's and my conversation back in August when we talked on the phone and hashed this out, everything was fine. Like nobody was mad at anybody. I agree. We kind of agreed to disagree, but it was fine. And then on the Magic Word podcast, he was pretty heated and he's made me sound like a bad guy. I want to also give my two cents that it came out of the dark, out of the blue. I thought we were fine. I thought we agreed to put this. Make this correct on Revolution, and that was it. And then he makes me look not like the good guy.
And to your knowledge, as far as correcting the download DVD instructions, that he has not credited you at this point?
No, I he has. There is mention of Spin Out by Brent Garris on there. So he did say what he was going to do.
And he did follow through on that?
He did follow through on that, yes.
Okay.
But I just found it odd that I showed him something, and then a year later, he now has released it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, good. That's clear. I appreciate that. And that kind of helps set the record straight then as well, and as a follow-up as well. So good.
Perfect.
Thank you, Brent, very much. I appreciate you being on the Magic Word.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And so for the Magic Word podcast, that was Brent Garris. This is Scotty out. I'm glad that Alex and Brent both had a chance to come on the podcast and to give their side of the story, because Gregory had mentioned in his podcast both of their names individually as different issues. In particular, when Alex was accused of not having any support or evidence for the accusations that he was making against Greg, it now seems rather evident that the reason was he was protecting his friends. What I find interesting about Alex's comments, though, also, was something he mentioned having to do with $20,000 being spent on exact change. If you'll refer back to last week's podcast with Cosmo Solano, it seems that is rather an extraordinary amount to have been spent on that particular gimmick that is used in an exact change. For those of you who own that product, you can make your decision if that was money well spent, or if indeed there was really that much money that was spent on the R&D for that gimmick. But again, that was according to Alex's recollection. And as far as Brent goes, I'm glad that he was able to get that off of his chest then as well, to give his side of the story and explain how this had all evolved, that is, spin out versus revolution. But it does appear that both of those are a little bit different effects. One is a spinning, actually a card, a printed card, whereas the other one is actually a spinning deck. It seems to be kind of two separate things to me, but also that it could have been resolved in a little bit more of an amicable way, certainly. But it sounds like the card idea of the spun thing has been resolved, and that Greg has made as best amends, I think, as he can for posting the credit for Brent where he can. Well, at least that's my opinion. You guys get to make your own opinions and draw your conclusions from that. I would also like to encourage you to check out our new sponsor, ManageGigs.com. And if you go to our website at TheMagicWordPodcast.com and scroll towards the bottom of this particular blog, you'll see a banner there where you can click and you can enjoy a 7-day free trial to find out all about it. Well, next week we are going to be having yet another person whose name was mentioned, and that is John Lovick. I think what he has to say is pretty interesting as well. So stay tuned for that podcast next week. So, until next time, stay well, get booked, and be respectful. This is Scotty out.